Welcome to The Well. This podcast focuses on applying the Bible to our everyday lives, discussing real life issues from a Christian perspective, and encouraging women to walk in faith. As Jesus followers, we have all experienced the freedom that comes with choosing to follow Him, and we want to be a part of your journey to living a life rooted in Christ. This podcast is sponsored by Costello's Butcher Shop, recently voted best locally owned retail store in the Gulf Coast. Y'all, they have everything. Your Wagyu steaks, a deli, fine cheeses, fine wines, desserts, just all the amazing things. They're located at 8190 West Fairfield Drive in Pensacola, Florida. And don't forget about their free lunch program through the KTF. 7 days a week, a child can walk in to Costello's and get themselves a sack lunch and fill their bellies. I think Christy said they've almost beat 100,000. That's amazing. All right, so go in, say hi, let them know Truth Rising sent you, and don't miss out. You will be so glad you did. Okay, so if any of you have not experienced the panel portion, we're going to go through and we'll read the questions that were put on here. But if anyone in the audience wants to ask, I'll walk you the mic. If you want to stand up and ask a question, if something came up and maybe while they were speaking. And so I'll read the question and then one of them, whoever feels like they should answer that, or maybe two of them, they'll just raise their hand. I'll hand them the mic and they'll answer the question. So that's how we do our panel portions. It's just a good way to get involved. And if someone here, if you feel like, nah, I got something I got to say into that, raise your hand too. I'll come over to you. Okay.
How can I forgive? My efforts are failing. I have repeatedly asked God to help me. Funny, I'm reading this. I'm going to answer it too. So I had a friendship that was really difficult. We were friends for 15 years, and she repeatedly hurt me over and over and over. But she wasn't a believer, so I couldn't fault her because she knew no different. It was really hard to forgive her, and we went our separate ways for a really long time, but I felt God placed us back in her life, and I battled with God. I was like, you are not doing this. I'm not going back. No, you separated us. We're not friends anymore. I can't do this. And he told me, no, she needs you. And sure enough, she did need me. And it hurt really bad. I had to get up every single day for months on end and place her at God's feet. So whatever it is that you need forgiveness for, or you need to forgive somebody or whatever it is, I know you said you asked him. And it's hard. Forgiveness is not something that we just do and it goes away. It's literally something we have to get up every single day and place it at his feet. And if you need something physical, write it on a piece of paper, rip it up, throw it in the trash, and do it every single day until your heart has softened. And just ask him, please soften my heart. Please allow me to forgive this person or whatever it is that you need the forgiveness for. And if it's for yourself, he's already forgiven you. He has a book. You laid it at his feet. He's going back every time you bring that up to him. Your name's not there anymore. He already forgave you. So forgive yourself and just walk away. He's already forgiven you. He's already done that. So I hope that helps.
Mine's pretty similar to Tara's. Actually, what happened that made me walk away from, well, I say made me. I chose to walk away from God was I was really hurt by those people who are supposed to love you really well. And when I came back to church and there was this woman and she was probably a paramedic for me or she was something. In that moment. And I was talking to her about something and she said, oh, well, you haven't forgiven them. She was like, you know, that's like drinking poison and expecting them to die. Like, it's going to kill you. They're not even thinking about you or about the pain or anything. And she told me, she said, every time you think about it, pray for them. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll try it because nothing else had worked. Sometimes it was literally the only prayer I could muster was, Jesus, let them have a good day. Amen. Like, that was the only prayer that I could pray because, but sooner or later, it became, you know, these bigger, you know, maybe two sentence prayers. It doesn't come up every day anymore. It doesn't have the power over me anymore because, remember, resist the devil and he will flee from you. When he sees that him planting that, remember what they did, remember, when he starts to see that it doesn't affect you, that's resisting him and he's going to run away because it's not working anymore, you know. So yeah, definitely the laying, I love that. And when it comes up, just pray for him because I'd hope somebody would pray for me, you know. That's it.
Anybody else? Maggie's great too because we've had some of our growing rupture and repair moments, according to Alyssa. And Maggie's like, it's okay. I've already forgiven you. So now I'll talk to you. It's like, oh,
check, yeah. Check.
Okay.
I joked with the team, sure, like, we can't be a team called Truth Rising if we don't deal with our own issues within us. So we have to, we practice forgiveness a lot.
What is your deep heart cry that maybe you don't even pray about? How can we pray and lift up your unbelief area? So I think this person I would assume is referring to, I believe, help me with my unbelief, maybe, that father who says that to Jesus. Because he's like, if you can heal him. And he's like, if. And then he says, I believe, help me with my unbelief. I'm assuming, I may be wrong, but.
So yeah, the really cool thing with that is the Holy Spirit translates everything for us.
Oh, yeah.
And so what I love about prayer, I promise I won't go into a whole other spiel here, but what I've learned about prayer is just another way that we can bow to his sovereignty and providence.
Yep.
And as we do that, you know, those deep heart cries that are in our heart, and there's a lot that we don't even know about. It's called like the stones in our heart surgery. So what I hear more in that question is more so that you're feeling that he's not going to answer your heart cry because you're not able to give it to him. And just like I'm a mom and I don't wait for my children to, especially my almost one-year-old, to literally tell me, mommy, I'm hungry. But as his mom, I'm learning to watch his cues. And that tells me that even though he can't specifically share his heart's cry, right? So really cool about God being our creator and maker is that he's always supplying our need. He's a good father. And so what I hear in that and what I'm going to answer to that is that he hears you, he loves you, and he sees you, and he's given you the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit is translating that anyway. So keep talking to him. He's listening.
Absolutely. And this is one of my favorite prayers. I've prayed this numerous times. And I think we were just talking, who were we talking about that with? Oh, I know who I was talking about that with. And I've said before, Father, I believe, help me with my unbelief. And there was a period in my life that I was praying this a lot because he's big enough. Leah, you always say that, right? Like, God is big enough, even for our unbelief. He just wants you to talk to him about it. You don't have to take that because once you take that and you hold on to that, what does it do? It starts to push you back further from him. He can meet you there. You just have to ask him.
Yeah, he doesn't cease to exist because we don't believe.
Exactly.
So one of the scariest prayers I ever prayed is, Lord, align my heart with what you have for me. Make my heart's cry out and long for what is already in your will for me. And so instead of saying, Lord, give me the cries of my heart, I said, Lord, let my heart cry for what you're giving me. Sometimes that was a really hard prayer. And that really is the scariest prayer that I think we can pray because I literally was asking him to like do his will. Whether or not my eyes understood or like whether or not I could see the end, but like in the presence of a truly loving, personal, intimate God, a not just all-knowing, right, but all-wise, omnisapient. He's more than omniscient. He's omnisapient. And it says in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And so if I do truly believe that, then I will trust that he will align the cries of my heart with what he has for me. So that's how I handle that prayer.
I love that. I mean, it's in our Father's prayer, right? Thy will be done. Ooh. How do I make meaningful relationships with friends more than just seeing them at work, church, or Bible study? Someone I can call, have coffee with, cry with, and laugh with. So she wants to know, how do I make meaningful relationships with friends, not just acquaintances?
You have to fight for it. And I've learned that with some of the ladies up here. And I'll probably learn it with some of them up here later on. But you have to fight for it. And it has to be something that you are willing to invest time in and energy. And, you know, I love imagery, just like Chris. Like, I love imagery, especially like gardening. I'm not like a good gardener or anything. Maybe that's why I like it, because I'm like, that blows my mind. But there's like this underground, like Holy Spirit working thing that like I can't really make happen. But there's all these things on top that I can do. You know, I can prune and I can fertilize and I can till. And so I think just putting the work in to it and making time and figuring out what does make that person feel loved. You know, is it spending time with them? Is it, you know, a random, here's a dinner, you know, or, hey, let's go get coffee, or, oh, you just look really pretty today. Like, whatever, what makes them feel loved? And I would say just really invest and do the hard work. And when the ruptures happen, sitting there and fixing it and fighting for those relationships, I would say. So I would say just committing to investing in the relationship, I think, is how it's going to go from. And I mean, I get it. I'm a mom. Like, it's hard. We're busy. And so I think just having clear expectations of, yeah, we probably can't sit on the beach together for 5 hours on a on a Wednesday. Like, that's not realistic. But what is realistic, you know? You come over to my house. Leah came over to my house and watched me paint the other day. I was like, sorry, I don't have any coffee for you, but I can't just sit in this chair while I paint, you know, because that's just where we were at. So just taking the time to invest and having realistic expectations and just trying to love people well.
Also recognizing that not everyone's going to be your friend. So having that discernment as well, because you can put in a lot of effort into people and they're not going to always reciprocate that. And so you have to find like those people that you connect with. And if you really pray over that person and that relationship and you see you're putting in the effort just as much as they're putting in the effort, because it should be twofold, because it's not one-sided. No relationship is one-sided. But it will take work from both of you. And if it's not working out, that's okay. You don't have to have 500 friends. I mean, that's totally fine.
I actually have a great analogy. I just went to a women's conference at my church last weekend, which was pretty cool. And she took a plane, and she's got Jesus as the pilot, and she's the co-pilot. And then she's got her first class. And there's some science behind this, but I'm going to mess up the number. So I'm just going to go with what I got. And in first class, basically you have room in your life, the capacity for like 1 to 5, I believe. And then you've got your business class. And I think that goes up to like 15, I believe. And then you've got coach. And that can go anywhere from 50 to 60 individuals, right? And then you got parachutes for those people that need to get off the plane. So you've got all of that. But she said it was pretty cool because she says they move. You can take them because if I give, and sometimes the business and the first class, those lines will blur. Right. And sometimes you maybe go back and forth with those two categories a lot. But first class, those are your intimate friends. Those are the people you can be vulnerable with. That is where that happens. But also to recognize seasons, and that's okay to sometimes move them, because if not, guess what? Like, if you don't value that or prioritize that, then those usually are where the hurt starts to happen. Right. Where they're like, when was the last time you called me or checked in on me or whatever the case may be?
So be okay with maybe moving them as a way of protecting it. And at the same time, the one person, Christ himself needs to be directing that. That's where discernment comes into play. Like what you were saying, Chris, maybe this person, you really want your first class, but she belongs back in coach. You know, like she's great, but just she's not that person. And that's okay. So I love that analogy. Alyssa wants the mic.
I'm going to say something really quick and then I'm going to handle it to Alyssa since I can pass it that way. If you're saying somebody from church or work and that person is continuously popping up in your head, that's not a happenstance. That's the Holy Spirit telling you. That's him leading you. It's scary, but pick up the phone and call. I know nowadays everybody texts everybody. Pick up the stinking phone. Call the person. Say, hey, you've been on my heart. Is something going on? Or did I just need to call and tell you I miss you? Let's have coffee or whatever. That's not by chance. That's his nudge. That's his guidance. It's him telling you that person needs you as much as you need them. So listen to that. Or if that person keeps popping up, pray over them and then go with those nudges. Bring them a cup of coffee, whatever it is. But take that first step, but always ask him first.
I think the first thing that you need to do to deepen relationships and try to create friendships is first you need to know yourself, and you need to know how you like to be befriended and the difference between how maybe somebody else likes to be befriended. Because I'm just going to be really transparent with you. I don't think I'm a very good friend. If you measured it by how often I reached out initiated engagement, how much time I have available for you, then you would be like, oh my gosh, Alyssa is a terrible friend. But if you understand me and you understand how I can be with you, because when I am sitting with you, I'm with you. You get all of me. So it may not be every day and it may not be consistently, unless you are on my schedule every Friday like Tara is now, because we had to just make it intentional, because that's how I end up being a good friend is I'm like, oh, we have a block on the schedule. Let's just, you be with who you're with and you show up and you are vulnerable, you are transparent, you are intentional. And sometimes you tell them the truth of like, I really value this part of our friendship, but some of these other aspects of our friendship, like I'm not sure I'm going to get in this relationship. And that's why we have a myriad of friends. We have a lot of different people. And each one of those friends is a different kind of friend to us. And so that's important. First, you have to know who you are and what you need and how you are a good friend. And then you need to know that not one friend can be all the things to you. You may have multiple friends that each meet a particular need. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. And I love that you said that, because I have a dear friend and I don't think she's ever called me to ask to do anything, but I'll call her. She's like, okay. And she's there and it's what, but if I would put the world standards and, you know, this is what you have to be my friend, I wouldn't have got to see her amazing heart and have that friendship. But instead I looked at her and it was just, yeah. So I love that you said that. Don't compare either. You've got to know you and then be able to look at them too and see who they are and not compare them to the one next to you on the other side. Any others? Okay, how do you connect with someone that you know that you are to love, but they have hurt you or disappointed you over and over? I'm going to read that again because I think I messed it up. How do you connect with someone that you know that you are supposed to love, but they have hurt you or disappointed you over and over? I'm going to walk. What?
Just kidding. I had to love my mom, and my mom hurt me. And learning forgiveness for something she really didn't know she was doing. With that forgiveness, it gave me life. And her sickness made me a better person. I'm the best part of my mom. And that day I forgave her changed my life. I'm no better than her. And I've been forgiven for lots of stuff. And my mom deserved forgiveness. And it gave me the best mom that I prayed my whole life for. So forgiveness comes easy now. Looking back, it does.
Just keep showing up and being you. Maybe that person has some really deep hurt. That same friend I was talking about, she had some deep hurt. And I had to keep showing up and being me and her going, why do you still love me? That's what I'm called to do. You hurt me, but I see you. I see your hurt. I see what you need. So sometimes that doesn't mean just let the person run you over. There's boundaries. Know that line as well. But if you know that they need your love, love them the way you know how to. If it's a text message, it's a phone call, it's flowers on your doorstep, whatever it is. Eventually, they'll see that they can't get away from you and they'll give up being mean.
I do want to put this out here. Does anyone else have anything to add? Because this is something that's affected every one of us. Does anyone else have anything out there? You don't have to, but I want to offer it. Okay.
So I will say, and I know you've heard this before, but hurt people hurt people. You know, teaching people how to establish healthy relationships is a part of what I do as a marriage and family therapist. And, you know, there's a lot of merit to saying, you know, and Maya Angelou said it before, you know, people will sometimes show you who they are. And when they do, believe them. And what I've learned actually as I've become more mature in not only, you know, my own relationships and the multidimensionality of all of those, but in my practice is that we really have to practice something called like intersubjectivity. In that moment, there is you and how you feel and the lens you're looking through and your perception of the experiences and your internal world and your previous wounds and all that comes with being you. And in that same experience, there's them and their hurt and their woundedness and their past experiences and the lens they're looking through and all of those things. And it's the space in between where we get to decide, do we keep showing up to love someone who continues to hurt us? Or is there like variations of how we demonstrate love? Do we still have boundaries around our time or energy or finances, but we love them with our presence and our verbal affirmation and our wisdom? I say this to my kids all the time, and I stitch this on a pillow somewhere at some point because it's so quotable. But I'm like, my love is unconditional and my advice is free, but my logistical and financial support is not. I will not fund poor decision making. So that is how this relationship is going to go down. And so, like, I offer that to you. When I say, let us be the chesed love of God, what I mean is our love can be unconditional and our advice or wisdom can be free, but there are boundaries around our logistical and financial support. And that's not operating outside of the way that God designed love. Isn't that how he loves us too? And Christians get really confused about, oh, but I'm supposed to love them harder and I'm supposed to be their secure attachment. I was so blinded by the fact that I thought I was supposed to be everybody's secure attachment, even when I'm like, this person is not appreciating what I am offering them right now, or they are not reciprocating. And that's not love. That's that like codependent, enmeshed, unhealthy kind of love. So let that be some help to you. Like, I hope that speaks to somebody. Like, your love is unconditional because we are given unconditional love from God that we then demonstrate to others. And we will offer wisdom when asked, because truth be told, sometimes they don't ask me, so I don't have to give them that advice. But if they come to me, it is free. But our logistical and financial support doesn't necessarily have to be. And our exposure to that individual can be limited in ways that feel safer to us. Does that speak to anybody?
I kind of wanted to build a little bit off of what Alyssa said, because I think a lot of times checklists are easier. Being a checklist Christian is easier than being like a Holy Spirit led Christian. Like, if you can just
okay, I read the Bible. It's not as fulfilling, but if I just read my Bible, I prayed, and I gave the homeless man $10. Okay, I'm good. Like, that's easier than being like, okay, God, what are we doing today? So I think looking at it through a lens of humility, because like you said, like, we do have limitations. And so, God, how do you want me to take this unconditional love, and how am I supposed to, through your power, give it to this person? Because you might say, I might be like, well, I'll give this homeless man $100, but that's not what he needed. He needed me to pray with him. And I am so prideful that I think that I can just give and do all the things, but you can't. And that's prideful. You have to come at it from a humble stance of, I don't really have anything to offer. All I have is what you've given me to offer. And how do I do that? You know, asking God, how do I love this person?
Great. Y'all did that. That was good, y'all.
Okay.
What's your advice for getting in the habit of seeking God first?
Just do it.
Fun fact, the Hebrew word, I got it. The fun fact is the Hebrew word for God is Yahweh. And the pronunciation is literally almost like your breath. That's why in Judaism, they didn't like to say his name. And so they said Jehovah. And so I think it starts by recognizing him. Start to recognize him in everything that you do. He's always present. He's the very breath that you have. I think sometimes in certain Christians, circles, we don't recognize the value of meditation because it has been distorted. But when you look in through all throughout the Psalms, David talks about meditating on the Word of God. And you might say, well, I don't have a whole lifetime of scriptures. Well, you don't need a lot. And trust me, you don't want a lot, because then you're responsible for more. I'm just kidding. But if you just sit with, you're here. You want to help me fold laundry? Okay. All right. And as you pick up those pieces of laundry, oh, this is, I just washed his shirt. Why is this dirty again? Father, please help my husband to da 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 da. And as you start going to different places, normalize talking to him. Normalize talking to him in everything that you do. And it's amazing because he actually talks back, and it's really cool and scary too sometimes.
I have to say, nowadays, I think we all look to the next person next to us and we go, how are they doing it first? What are they doing? What Bible study are they doing? What devotional? Oh, she gets up in the morning and prays. She reads her Bible first. Oh, I need to do it that way. No, you need to do it his way. And all he wants to do is be right there with you. So like Leah said, my husband asked me one day, when do you have time to pray? When do I have time not to pray? I am praying all day. That's how these kids stay alive. Like, that's how we are still married. You know, like, those are the things. It's like, that's how you put him first. Because if I don't put him first, I am an ugly person. I am nothing without him. And I was not a good wife. I was not a good daughter. I was not a good mother before I put him first. And I put everything in front of him because I did it the wrong way. I did it for the wrong reasons. But when I said, okay, God, what are we going to do today? Okay, we're going to keep little people alive. How are we going to do that? Okay, I'm going to wash these dishes. Like you said, I'm going to fold this clothes. I'm going to make my husband dinner because he was gone all day. Those things, we put him first by just walking with him next to us and doing it our way. I don't have time to sit down at 5:30 in the morning and read my Bible, because the minute my feet touch the floor, my toddler knows. And he's like, mom's up, let's go. So I don't get that alone time until the end of the day. But some of these women get it at the beginning. And for a really long time, I felt less than, because I was like, I'm not doing it the way that they're doing it. And then he told me, you don't have to do it the way they do it. You need to do it the way you do it, because you all do it differently. But we all have individual relationships with him. my relationship does not look the same as any of these women. You just saw four women get up here to talk about their relationship, and none of them were the same thing, but they all have him in them, and they walk with him every single day. So just choose him. When you your eyes open, say, okay, Lord, what are we doing today? Pick him first, and everything else will follow.
So in regards to praying, one of my favorite quotes is, if you're too busy to pray, then you're busier than God wants you to be.
The end.
Mic drop.
No, that's true, because anything that keeps you from prayer or his word, no matter how innocent it may seem, is not of God. So you do have to look at that. I love what you said, though, Tara, because it depends on the season, too. Like, look at your season in life. It's going to be different than your friends, most likely. I would say, for me personally, the first one, I had to get over myself and realize it's not about me. I'm here to serve him. And once I was humbled, which happens a lot, all the time, and I go before the Lord and I'm like, whew. It actually feels amazing, because you start to get a little too big for your britches. And when I remember that and I go before him and I humble myself before the Lord, and sometimes it's hourly, honestly. It's just this weird pride thing that creeps in and takes over, and then you've kicked out the throne room of God and replaced it with your own. And now you're not going to seek him first. But through that sanding that he keeps doing on me and that sanctification, I'm slowly developing this servant's heart where it's like, whew, I want to talk to you. Like, before my feet hit the ground, my goal is, the enemy says, oh, crap, she's up. Like, that's what I want to come out of their mouth. I don't want it to be about me. It's because that light in me is up and moving. And so I want that to be my goal, but that only comes when we realize it's not about us, it's about him. And each day before those feet hit the ground, you say, Lord, how can I serve you today? Like, I think Alyssa had said, thy will be done today. Ooh, that's a big prayer to pray. Or even, Father, how can I bless others in your name today? Give me opportunities. Get ready for those, because those are interesting. He has a sense of humor, too. So I would say, for sure, that's one of the ways I would suggest it. This is probably the last one we'll have time for, but I think this is a good one, because I'm very passionate about this, so I may take a stab at this one first, but we'll see. Where can I meet new friends that are believers? What's the first step to building community? He's like, right here. I think, I don't know if I'm going to answer this correctly. First and foremost, you got to pray for them. Like, that's number one. I realized before I met any of these women, I'd never prayed that he would send me the friends. Not send, like, here, they're on your doorstep, Tiff. Like, it was more like that I would find them and that I would surround myself with the women I would be okay slightly becoming. Like, I don't know if that means, like, I'll start sounding like I'm from Minnesota after I hang out with Christy. And Tara, all of a sudden I'm like real California and I'm talking about my flip-flop, throwing it at someone. So there's like things that will come out of it. My husband's real tired of the rupture and repair thing, because I'm hearing a lot of Alyssa pouring into me and I'm feeling that. It's just so interesting how this happens. Yes, the positive elixir or alacrity. But it comes first to him, but then it also, it's on you. Like, you have to be the one that's, where are you going? Where are you filling your time with? Who are you filling it with? Because that's usually we're the one that gets in the way of God and who he wants us to be around. And I mean, it comes back to scripture, right? Like, he calls us to be in the world, but not of the world. Those five people in your first class, if they're not a believer in Jesus Christ, I don't know if they can be in your first class. They've got to go back probably to business. You've got to have those women around you. And so where are you going? Where is your time? It may not always be at church where you find them. It may be in your neighborhood. It may be just when people ask your advice, give them the real advice. How is your marriage not over? By the grace of God? Like, and I mean, I say that jokingly and at the same time, but being who you are supposed to be, right? We decrease so he increases in us, and you'll be shocked at what that kind of attracts. So like Alyssa said, I'll round it back to that. Start with you first. Who are you? I pray this over my daughter every day when she goes to school. Lord, let her be a friend that those parents want in their child's life. And bring those friends, Father, that I'm praying that are in her life that you want. But I remind her it starts with her, if that makes sense. So wrapping all that up, if that was a little confusing, start with you and God. Pray, ask him. Go look in the mirror. And then, because he may not want you around her yet. He's like, no, I can't do that. I'm protecting her from that. But then he may be like, all right, now it's time. Here you go. You get 7, 8, 9, 10, however many. My first class is real full.
I was sitting with like my mentor person about a year ago. And it was funny because I said, man, I'm really upset that I didn't meet you 15 years ago. Without missing a beat, she said, you wouldn't have liked me 15 years ago. And I said, yeah, you're probably right. Probably wouldn't have liked you either. So talking about, you know, God's timing and trusting that.
100%. Chrissy, we've talked about that numerous times. I don't think, yeah.
My friend 10 years ago. No. Each one came in a different season in my life, and I'm very thankful for my first class. Yeah.
The Bible says in order to find a friend, a man must shew himself friendly. So based off of what you were saying, you have to act like a friend first. And if you don't smile and you look really mean, then no one's going to want to approach you, and then you won't have any friends.
Write that down. who else? Does Maggie have something?
I think also just putting yourself out there. Going and doing the things. And I think, again, like examining who you are and look at your giftings and maybe go use them and see who comes along the way. You know, it might be somebody else who has the same giftings as you and you guys can build each other up in that. Or it might be someone who really needed that gifting and now you're friends.
Don't,
you know,
40 years to do it.
Yeah. Like, get involved. Remember that you are, and I know that we're talking about friendship and all of that, but remember you're a part of the body of Christ and you're an important part of the body of Christ. And there's people out there that God wants to put in your life and he wants to put you in their life. And so I would say take the first, if you have the gift of hospitality, I have women who come to my house every Wednesday morning and we drink coffee and eat bagels and we pray. And so just like, okay, God, what have you given me? What have you given me inside of my spirit? And what have you given me? You know, I don't have a butcher shop. Chrissy does, and she uses it. But I have a house, and so I can use it. And so it's different, but it's what did God give us, and how can we use it? And that's where you met Tiffany, was in your butcher shop, you know? And
that's my friends.
Yeah. So, yeah, just putting yourself out there and giving what God gave you.
Which is what each and every single one of you did today. You showed up, and I've had the opportunity to engage personally with some of you today. And as many times as I did, I was like, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here. And I mean it. Like, I'm so glad that you came today. This right here today showing up is not an accident. And today, before you leave, connect with someone. The ways in which the Lord has sent people to come talk to me today, where they have, like, our lives will probably end up intersecting again in a myriad of ways. It just shows you, like, how abundant and exceedingly above his, like, anything we could ever ask or imagine is his love for us. And each one of us is made in the image of God, and we're able to reflect that to another person. So let's not just talk about what you guys might do someday when you get around to it. Can I tell you a little secret of something that I do? If I meet with somebody and I need to connect with them, Like, I say, let's put it on the calendar. Like, right now, before we leave, let's mark it down. Let's write it down. Let's have something to really solidify this intentionality. And if we have to cancel or reschedule, fine. But at least it's right there on my schedule. And so it isn't like, well, I'll get a hold of you. I like for people to be like, I'll get a hold of you this week. Or I will email you today before I leave here. So anybody that told me that they were going to reach out to me and connect with me, email me today. Email me today. Be intentional right now. So before you leave today, connect with someone, exchange information, or make a time that you are going to meet again.
I love all that. And remove the excuses. Your house doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to have all the laundry done. The dishes can be in this. It can look like you live there. Like, it is okay. You don't need a charcuterie board every time. I mean, it's fun, but if all you have is the, you know, half-eaten bag of chips and some water, we're good to go because they're there for you. They're not there for your stuff. We all have stuff, and it gets us nowhere. We're there for the relationship. Ooh, Terry wants to say something. All right, I'm coming.
I just wanted to add to that, that I had talked to Christy just last night, and I had shared with her, and I don't know if you knew this, Tiffany, but I had prayed very specifically for God to bring me friends. I'm a transplant from California. I've only been here 3 years. I don't know hardly anybody. And I lost my husband about 6 months ago. So now I'm really just kind of here in Pensacola on my own. And I had prayed that morning. And that was the same day that they called me and asked me to be a part of all this. And I was blown away. But you first have to ask him and say, Lord, please, I need my tribe. My old tribe is in California. And honestly, I feel like I've kind of shed them because I'm changing. I'm getting older. I just want to share with you that you pray for good friends because they're there. And we need each other as sisters. We need to champion one another. That's all I want to say.
Amen.
Anybody else?
Hi, my name is Nikki, and I used to live here. And I'm here visiting my dear friends. And the same thing kind of happened. I was like, okay, we need to get together. So there was two groups. One was a Mary night, and one was a Martha morning. So Martha morning, every Friday, we'd get together and we'd have our to-do list and organize our calendars and organize our homes. So they would be, we'd be ready to receive. And then Mary nights were when we would get together and have quiet meditative nights and pray for each other. And we're doing that now. Like on Sunday, we're going to get together and have
our
Mary
night. That's amazing. Wow.
And where is this location?
Are we all invited?
Yeah.
Would you
she
put the
left
address
on the screen?
I love that.
We all want to come now.
And that's she how left Revival in... started in Niceville.
Boom.
She's left in 2014, and they're still doing that.
That is amazing.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Right. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give this one. Does anybody else?
I'm going to add to that. You guys, I'm not from Florida. I'm from San Diego. Your tribe looks different. Connection around you is absolutely important. You need your community that's right there that you can call over and say, I need you to cook me dinner. But if that's not your season, I have three kids at home that range from 13 to 2, and I don't have all the time in the world to go do all these things because I'm running my kids everywhere, but I still have a tribe that backs me up. So when I'm having a bad day, I send them text messages. I send them Voxers, voice memos, and say, I need your prayer. So if you're in a season where you don't have that time, that's okay if they're not right there every single time. Just make sure that you're connecting with somebody so you have your prayer warriors, because we're not meant to do this alone. We need to have a community to call and say, I need you to pray for me. That's what your shield is for, to hold it up and have faith alongside each other. So if they're not right there, you'll find them.
I'm going to end on this, and I think we'll be good unless someone else has something they got to say. Remember, I mean, in the beginning, he created us to be in relationship. You are not meant to be alone. The enemy wants you alone. He's done a real good job the last few years of getting us all isolated and alone. No, break that. Speak that in. If you've noticed that in your friend,
tell her. No. It sometimes feels like it goes against that, right? Because you're like, no, I want to be in this corner. I want to be in this dark. You don't. That's a lie. And so we are meant to be in these relationships. It's going to be uncomfortable, ladies, for some of you. Some of you, the fact that you came here today is almost a miracle because you're like, I'm going to have to recharge for the next month. Like, this is not who I am. I'm so glad you came. This morning, Tara prayed specifically for you. She was like, let those that are just not, they're not sure if they're going to walk out that door, get them out the door. Like, you're going to have to do it. Do it because that's how he created us. And we want to live in his design, correct? That's where we want to be. We want to be under God's covering and design for our life. He did it to help us, to love us, to protect us because he's a good God. He didn't do it to set us up for failure. He gave us that to set us up for success. So when you don't leave here today, if you do not have at least, if it's the person you came with, great. If you don't have someone here that you've created, gotten their phone number, even maybe gone as far as Alyssa said, get it on a calendar. Do it. Follow through. Don't leave here today and let this be it. Get out there and do this. Set the example. Set the example for those women around you. It's now. You were made for a time such as this. That is a fact. So do not ever doubt that. Don't forget that. Never. We got one more and then we're going. Chris, if you got to roll because it's your daughter's birthday, so she may have to go.
I'm not going to let you leave without me praying over you guys and then you can leave, I promise.
Probably lots of facets to this, but one thing that I just heard was a charge for women that are in the next season, the empty nesters, the moms with grandchildren, but might have more time. You know, there are many young moms. The biggest thing I've heard is I have three young children. I have a young child. I have that. There's a charge on our lives now that we've walked our children through those times. Maybe we're grandmas. Maybe we have those different things and we have some space in our calendar. So I want to charge women that are not in the young season. Because it has been far too long that we have not taken our rightful place and poured into younger women. And I think this is a thing. Remember, you were once there. And it was crying on my knees, crying out for help. The young mom, husband deployed, you know, all the things. And I was a business owner, you know, lots of busy lives. But let's take that time to see the young mama or the woman that doesn't have children. Let's be her mom. Let's teach her how to mother. There's such things as heart children. Be a spiritual mom. If you don't have children of your own, please be the spiritual mom. God has given you daughters in the church. There is a great need, and I want you to know that you are seen and you are needed in the body of Christ. You have a purpose at this next season when your hair changes a beautiful color. You are so needed. Please know. I just want to charge you with that. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Our table wins. Sorry. But Maggie, I'm going to call you to please share the carb story.
Sorry, which?
The carb story. So I'm from North Dakota, and I shared a story about how I brought somebody spaghetti. Mm-hmm. And then Maggie called it carb ministry. And I thought it was really funny what you keep in your cupboard and how you always make sure that you have noodles and spaghetti sauce.
The carb ministry.
I was like, wait, did I talk to someone else?
I kept hearing card. Oh, okay. So this is, she had an amazing story about she called it her blessing spaghetti. And I was like, I looked at Lee and I said, oh my gosh, I have something that I call my blessing pasta. I keep a box of pasta and a jar of pasta sauce because it's like $4 total, you know. I keep that in my pantry at all times in case a friend is having a hard day. I took some to Leah last week, and they can't say no because they're like, oh, and I'm like, it's nothing fancy. I'm boiling water. That's literally all I have to do. And I keep the tins that you just chunk so that they don't have to worry about returning a dish. And I keep a couple of those. And when a friend says,
Oh, I'm just having a really rough day. Okay, I'm bringing you dinner. No. It's just pasta. It's nothing fancy. You're not going to stop me. It will be leftovers for the rest of the week if you don't eat it tonight. But it's just something so simple. And I mean, we all know as women, and you have the constant to-do list. Even if it's just pasta, that takes such a big thing off of their list. And so yeah, I love when you shared that. I was like, I do that too. And yeah, there's a lot of just really simple things you can do. It doesn't have to be crazy. You know, it can just be keeping a box of pasta in the pantry. And sometimes I'm at the grocery store and I'm like, oh, do I really have to buy this box of pasta this week? So I don't use it every week or anything. And it was funny, a couple weeks ago, the spirit was like, make sure you get your pasta. And I was like, okay. And then I had a change in jobs and there was all these things going on. And I got to make the pasta for my own family that way. I was like, oh, Jesus blessed me with the blessed pasta.
I love that.
What was your name with the charge? Jill, can you come up here, Jill? Yeah. I would love for you and Tara to pray us out if you're comfortable with that.
I feel like you're supposed to pray. So
if you want to join hands with the person next to you, sit there in by yourself, that's fine too, whatever it is. Ladies, let's pray, okay?
Oh, Father, we take a moment to acknowledge that you are the breath inside of us. You are the air around us. Thank you. You are good. And you can only give good and be good. We stand before you, both empty and full, as empty vessels, but filled with you. And women, I just ask if your hands are not open, that you would open your hands now just to receive. And Father, it says in your word that you open doors that no one can open and you close doors no one can close. So I ask that you would seal the work that was done here today. Remind us of your love and all of its beauty and splendor and simplicity. And I thank you for giving us a picture of that today. Open our eyes to see you, Jesus, as the ultimate picture of friendship. And you do meet us at the well.
Yes.
Oh, Lord. And as each woman stands at the well, may she look beside and see you. That you are the one drawing the water up, filling her up to overflow. And every area that you're pulling up is all for her good. May she receive it like refreshing rain. Oh, Father, thank you for today. What a gift we receive from you. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this whole entire room. I thank you for each and every one of these women. Some of them, it may have been hard to spend that little bit of money and put that faith out there to walk through that door today. And Lord, I thank you for tapping on their hearts and bringing them. I thank you for this day that we had together. I thank you for the friends that they made, the connections. I thank you for the encounters we had with you, Lord. I thank you for the time that you spent with us today. Lord, I just ask that you give each and every one of them eyes to see and ears to hear. If it is the woman coming up in front of them or the ones coming behind, I just ask that you place those people in their lives. Lord, I ask that you open the door for the friendships and the community. And I just ask that you place the names on their heart of who they need to reach out to, Lord. Open their eyes. Lord, I ask for the ones that need help with forgiveness. I ask that you rip their hearts wide open and you give them the ability to forgive, that you wash their hearts clean, Lord. I ask for any chains that need to be broken, Lord, that they break off right now in your name. I rebuke any lie that is being spoken into them by the enemy telling them they are not worthy. They are worthy, Lord. They are your daughter, and you have washed them clean. Fill them up. Fill them up so hard and so high, Lord, that they spill, that when they walk into a room, people look at them and go, whoa, what's different? And it's you, Lord, and that it just oozes out of them. They can't help but to speak your name. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the blood that you shed. And we thank you for your love. Give us the ability to love others the way you love us. Give us the ability to build the relationships that we need in our lives, to no longer hide behind closed doors. Break those barriers, break those chains, and leave our hearts wide open for you, Lord. I say all this in your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
At Truth Rising, we believe prayer is powerful. So I'm going to pray a blessing over you. May God be gracious to you and bless you and make his face shine upon you. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is so great, you will never fully understand it. And you may be filled with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. May Christ make his home in your heart through faith. May your love abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might. And may you be filled with joy. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. And I say all this in Jesus' name. Amen.